Assalamu alaikum. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. We're learning this evening, once again, for Achinu Kol Beis Yisrael, all the Jewish people. Specifically, we're thinking about those who are suffering as a result of the terrorist actions that occurred. Still, it's about 100 days ago at this point, as well as everybody else that it's in need. So, with that in mind, we'll begin with the Perek of Tehillim. I'll be Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. And now it's on the screen. Sheila Ma'alo says, Einai Helari, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, Ezri Me'imadano Yosei Shemayim Va'aretz, Al Yitein Lamot Braglecha, Al Yinu Shemrecho, Hinei Lo Yenu V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shemrecha, Adonai Tzilcha Yad Yiminecho, Yumam Hoshesh Lo'akecha, V'yareach Balailo, Adonai Yishmach Mikoro Yishmach Nafshecho, Adonai Yishmach Tzitzcho V'echem Yitavid Oilam. It's again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see fit that he should redeem Achinu Kol Beis Yisrael, that all the Jewish people that are suffering throughout the world, again, specifically thinking about those who are in the midst of a fight, the battle, the war in Eretz Yisrael. And my understanding is that there's been, unfortunately, further casualties than within the past several days. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mr. Shem, should see fit to watch over and protect Klal Yisrael. If you're interested in sponsoring, please reach out to 917-626-8306 or visit sheerenjoyment.com. Additionally, all of my learning is Zeicha Nishmas, Rabbi Mori, Moshe David, and Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler. Zeicha Tzedek Livracha. So this week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayira. Second parsha in Parsha Shmos, I say for Shmos rather, and it begins the very first beginning of the parsha is Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. Says Vayeder Elokim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. So Hashem said to Moshe, said to him, I am Hashem. Rashi, the first two Rashis in the pasuk, only two Rashis, says on Vayeder Elokim El Moshe. Rashi says he took him to task for having spoken critically and said previously, why have you caused the people to be mistreated? And then the next pasuk says, the next Rashi says, rather, I love Ani Hashem. I am the eternal. I am Hashem, who is faithful to pay good reward to those who follow my ways closely. So not for nothing do I send you, but rather to fulfill the promise that I made to the forefathers. This, of course, is a reference to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We find the phrases Rashi and Hashem explained in the sense of several places. I am the eternal, I am Hashem, who is faithful to exact punishment when it's mentioned in reference to a matter deserving punishment. As, for example, we see in Sefer Vayikra, Perek, Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Beis, where it says, "For you will thus profane your name of Hashem. I am Hashem and Hashem." And so it's mentioned elsewhere in reference to fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, the commandments. Also in Sefer Vayikra, here it's Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph. You shall preserve my commandments and do them because Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. It means literally, I am Hashem who is faithful to give you reward. So. Again, just thinking contextually here that at the end of last week's parsha, it's not quite the same type of a narrative shift that we had in the end of Sefer Bereishis, but we know that Hashem had revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, you know, I want you to bring out the Jewish people, but then they started suffering, we'll say, apparently as a result of it, and so Hashem. Moshe sort of rebukes Hashem in a way, and Hashem, according to the way Rashi understands, saying, "No, I'm still the same God. There's nobody else. So I'm the same one." Now we'll take a look at the Midrash Rabbah. We're going to look at the second Midrash on the Parsha, again focusing on the concept of Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe, from that Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying that I am Hashem. So the Midrash says, "How did who dichsiv ki ha'asik yeholu l'sachem es leiv matanu?" So it's written for harassment. Isaac makes a man foolish. Not Isaac, Oishik rather. And he loses the gift of understanding. This is a pasuk in Sefer Koheles, Perek Zion, pasuk Zion. Kishachacham misasek bedvarim harbe, for Oishik ayin shin kuf makes a man why a wise man foolish. That when a wise man is occupied, misasek is occupied with many matters. That the matters like commerce, again, which is important to do, but when you're too engrossed in it, that then you're not focusing on what we should be focusing on. The Midrash is interpreting the word oishik, kuf, ayin kuf, ayin shin kuf, literally contention, as if it was oishik, which is ayin samach kuf, meaning an occupation or a concern, replacing the shin and which, as we know, is pronounced like a sh. With a samech, which is pronounced as an s kind of a sound, as happens frequently in Midrash. One of the ways we know we can darshan, we can extrapolate understand is when Chachamim replace certain letters that have that are similar to each other. They say, how is a shin sound similar to a samech sound? Because shin has a correlation as well with the letter sim. They look exactly the same. The difference is if you're looking with vowels, vowelization, the kudas, then there's a dot on the right hand side of a shin and on the left hand side with the sin. But really they're the same letter. In fact, if you look at the Sefer Torah, we know there are no nekudas, no pronunciation guides. They'll look exactly the same because they are the same letter. So, because a shin and a sin are really the same letter, so a sin and a samech can be interspersed or interchanged for the purposes, again, of darshaning, of making extrapolations, understanding further things that the Torah wants to teach us on a deeper level. Of course, the word oishik and the word oisik are not the same word, and so we can't actually write the Sefer Torah with the wrong letter in it. But they do, for interpretation purposes, you can sometimes transmute, if you will, certain letters. So here's that's the idea here. And also, I'm getting tongue-tied with Oshik versus Isaac because they are the same word in certain ways. Anyway, so getting back into the Midrash, it says, Ma'avrin, so those matters confuse him, drawing him away from wisdom. Wisdom that is the preoccupation with worldly matters, which again is important to do. You need to have a place in the world and be a part of the world, but if you're too preoccupied with it, then it will draw you away from the wisdom of Torah. And this is a statement of Rav Yochanan that we see in Maseches Erev, and it's in Daf and Nun Hey Amid Aleph. And the Midrash continues. The Aved es Lev Matan, and he loses gift of understanding, literally the gift of the heart. Mina Torah Shenitna Matana Belibo Shel Adam. That's his will, it draws him away from Torah, which was given as a gift into the heart of man. Because it's only as a gift from Hashem, only through the divine assistance, if you will, that we as people are capable of understanding the Torah. As it says elsewhere in Sefer Mishlei, that ki Hashem yitein chokhmah, Hashem grants wisdom. Also elsewhere, although Hashem will grant the man the Torah as a gift, if he applies himself properly, then we can maintain the gift. But if chas v'shalom, we don't grasp onto it and take it to what it's meant to be, then we can lose that gift if we're overly involved in material concerns. Well, the Midrash continues. Dabarachir, another interpretation. Ki ha'oishik yihol chachum, for oishik makes a wise man foolish. Mizasik b'tzachit tzibur mishakeach talmudo. So one who is preoccupied, mizasik, again, once again, the transmutation of a shin and a samech, that he's preoccupied with communal matters, might forget Torah learning. Now, of course, being Isaac being involved in matters of the tzibur is an important thing. It's important to, whether you're speaking about being a gabbai, whether you're speaking about being a rav, whether you're speaking about being a teacher, everything involved with the community. There are important things for the community, but the idea again being overly involved in community matters, you might chas v'shalom forget your Torah learning. Just as an aside, I remember when I was learning in yeshiva years ago, learning in Smicha, that one of the downsides that some of the guys that I was in yeshiva with were saying, what's going to be? I'm going to become a rabbi. I'm going to have a shul. Maybe I'm going to become a teacher in a yeshiva. It's all great and it's important to spread Torah, but my personal learning is going to go down because I'll be too involved with what I need to do for the community. So my own learning is going to suffer. And so this, I think, is perhaps what we can think here that the Midrash might be referring to. Being too occupied with community matters and forgetting your own Torah learning, if you will. So the Midrash continues. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Samech Halachos Lamadni Rabbi Yehuda ben Pedaya Becharishus Hakever. Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi said to, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Pedaya, he taught me 60 halachos, samech is the number 60, that pertain to a plowed grave. Excuse me, that it is the laws, regard halachos regarding tumah and tahara, we'll call it ritual contamination, so to speak. Although, again, as I mentioned previously, tumah doesn't literally mean contamination or impurity, just like tara doesn't really mean pure, but we don't have better English words. So the halachas regarding the tumah of a plowed field that contained a grave. See the Masechet Oholos, Mishnah Yud Zayin, and Mishnah, no, Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, and Perek Yud Ches, Mishnah Beis. For more on that, as well as Gemara Maseches Ma'ir Katan, looking in Daf Hey and Beis. Okay, back in the Midrash says Vechulin Mimeni, and they were all forgotten by me. All these 60 halachas that I learned, I forgot them. Bishvil Shaiyisi Oistik B'tzarchet Tzibur, because I was too occupied in community matters. Again, not that Chas V'Shalom we could say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wasn't occupied in learning, wasn't occupied in Torah, but that he was too occupied in what he thought of later as communal matters, as opposed to his own learning, keeping up with what other areas of halacha, shall we say. Then the Midrash continues. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon. King Ha'oshik Yehovah Chacham, so Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon said for harassment, again, using the word Oshik with the other translation of harassment, makes the wise man foolish. Zemosh, and this alludes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Oshik She'ashku Osodasun Va'aviram. Harassment. This refers to that which Dasan and Aviram had harassed him. Now, if you don't remember who Dasan and Aviram were, they were the two members of Bnei Yisrael who blames Moshe for the worsening conditions that the Bnei Yisrael received while they were suffering in slavery in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. As well, they are understood to be the two Israelites, if you will, that were arguing with each other, that nobody noticed were there, but Moshe Rabbeinu struck the Mitzri and killed the Mitzri, that maybe they were actually there in the background, they reported it. These were not good people, not the kind of upstanding people that we would like to think of, and so they were harassing Moshe Rabbeinu. A lot of things that they did. So Yehovah Chacham Ibru also. That it makes the wise man foolish, for they were confused by him. For he loses gift of understanding. For could you possibly think that Moshe lost himself? Yeah, it's incredulousness. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu, the wisest, the humblest of all men, the people, the one who was able to speak panem upon him, face to face with Kadosh Baruch Hu, how could he lose himself? It was Dathan and Abiram, through their contentions, through their harassment, who caused the wise man Moshe Rabbeinu to lose the gift of understanding and complain improperly to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's according to the Matan's Kahuna. Alternatively, the Midrash is interpreting the word Matana here as if it's vowelized slightly differently as Mesuna, meaning to calm. That the pasuk could be saying that as a result of Dathan and Aviram's contention that Moshe Rabbeinu lost his composure, leading him to angrily complain to Kadosh Baruch Hu. See the Yifatayr on that understanding. Midrash continues, Elohim shehitehuhu v'amruloi yir Hashem aleichem v'yishpoi. Rather, as the pasuk says in Koheles, it implies that Dathan and Aviram, who provoked him by saying, "May Hashem look upon you and judge you, for you have made our very scent abhorrent in the eyes of Paro." Again, this is a pasuk that's from earlier, Perek Hey pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ba'afu hikpid v'amar umeyaz ba'asi al Paro. And as a result, Moshe also became upset over the Bnei Yisrael's continued enslavement and said, "My Lord, why have you," talking to Hashem, "why have you continued done evil to these people? Why have you sent me from the time that I came to Paro to speak in your name? Did he, Paro, continue to do evil to this people, but you didn't rescue your people?" Again, Hashem sent Moshe on the rescue mission to rescue the Bnei Yisrael, to be the leader of the Bnei Yisrael, to lead them out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, and things got worse. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on a very simple level, seems to be upset and complaining. The Midrash continues as Hashem's reply to Moshe. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani hichtavti alecha. I have already had written about you that you're humble, that you're an anav, as we see in Sefer Bamidbar, it's Perek Yud Beis of Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od, that the man Moshe Rabbeinu was exceedingly humble, perhaps again the most humble person who ever lived. That is, he was patient and long suffering and unperturbed by the insults and deprecations of others. See Rashi over there. Although that pasuk is written in the context of a specific incident hadn't occurred yet, the pasuk was already in existence because the Torah itself, as we know, predates creation. See the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Nun Daled Amar Aleph, on that concept about the Torah existed before in everything that it says, even before it happens. But that's the Midrash is again mentioning here that Moshe is the humblest of all people who ever lived. And what's the source for this is something that happens later in the quote narrative of the Sefer Torah. Okay, continuing on in the Midrash. There's Va'atza Makpid al Dvarai. And now because of Dathan and Aviram, they have provoked you and you have become upset over my words. So over the fact that I instructed you, says Hashem, to go to Paro, even though it has not caused the immediate result of the Geula, the redemption of the Bnei Yisrael. We'll take a few extra minutes at the end to look at another thought on this idea. Continue on in the Mishnah, the Midrash rather. It says, Chayecha, by your life, Yesh lecha leida shenemar, you should know that the pasuk says, Tov. So that the end of the matter is better than its beginning. This again is a pasuk can say for Koheles. Here it's the pasuk follows the pasuk we mentioned earlier at Ki Ha'eshik Yichol, for the oppression makes the wise man foolish, etc. So therefore, the Midrash interprets it also to mean the context of Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The term here Chayecha, by your life, is in the form of an oath. The Midrash continues, Toiva acharison shel Yisrael, meaning that Bnei Yisrael, the Yisrael end, and the land of Canaan will be better that when we arrive in Eretz Yisrael, in the Eretz Canaan, which becomes Eretz Yisrael, Mereishis the Mitzrayim, then it's the beginning, that the end will be better than the beginning that I have given them in Mitzrayim. That is, although Bnei Yisrael right now is suffering in Mitzrayim, ultimately they will be peacefully settled in Eretz Canaan, which again ultimately comes to be Eretz Yisrael. Another way to look at it is that the Nisim, the miracles that will accompany the conquest of Eretz Canaan at the end of the Bnei Yisrael's journey through the Midbar, will be even greater than the promised Nisim involved with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. Midrash continues, Shenema Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Ata Sira, but due to your complaining, you shall not live to see that end, as it says elsewhere in the pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, now you will see what I shall do to Paro. That the pasuk implies that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you shall see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim directed against Paro, but you won't live to see the Nisim about the defeat of the Canaanim when the Bnei Yisrael will take possession of our land. Midrash continues, but Ba'oisa Shah Biksha Midas Lifgoa Aboi. That at that time Moshe Rabbeinu complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem's divine attribute of strict justice sought to, excuse me, strike him down. Shenemar says in the pasuk, Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, that the word Elokim, the name of Elokim, is the name of Hashem that has the attribute of strict justice, judgment, spoke to Moshe. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chi basar v'dam ani b'modasai. That Hashem said reassuringly to Moshe, but are my characteristics like those of a flesh and blood person? Shani mirachim, that I don't show mercy? Therefore, it's written that, and he said to him, Hashem said to Moshe, I am Hashem. That is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem was telling Moshe that although he was in fact deserving of a severe punishment for his improper complaint, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would act towards him with mercy rather than with judgment. The Ifa Torah notes that Hashem's declaration can be interpreted through as a rebuke to Moshe as well. And Moshe was saying to him, how could you accuse me of doing evil to Yisrael? Am I not the merciful Hashem? Of course, I'm God. He was told, there's no for that. And the Midrash concludes, for Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yechanina, Amar bar Rabbi Yossi bar Yechanina said, Elokim al Mitzrayim, a Mitzrayim. That the name Elokim is used with regard to the Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem al Yisrael, but I am Hashem regarding Yisrael. That is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act as Elokim with justice and judgment towards the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, punishing them for all the evil that they did to the Bnei Yisrael, but towards the Bnei Yisrael, he shall act as Hashem, employing his attribute of compassion and mercy. And I did mention I wanted to go back to a certain point, but I think that there's it is it's late. I don't want to go on too long, but there's a very, I think, clear parallel we see with what's going on in the world today, that we could say that, okay, well, Hashem is acting with his or should be acting in his attribute of justice against those who are trying to put an end to the Bnei Yisrael, as has always been throughout time, unfortunately, over many times over the years. And time again, we see that Baruch Hashem, he has saved us, he has guided us, he's shown mercy towards us. And so we take a look and say, oh, well, just as in the past, Hashem saved us with his attribute of mercy and struck out judgment against those other nations, so too, in this instance, we can only hope that Hashem will follow in the same path. Just to sort of tie up some loose ends that I had mentioned before, we're speaking about Dothan and Aviram, And just to get back into that one little nekuda, so the author of Slavatka in the Or Tzafon infers from our midrash that there was nothing fundamentally wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu's plea to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why have you done the evil to his people? Far from being complaint against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, actually it was a humble tefillah, prayer on behalf of the Bnei Yisrael. And here we see this in Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that it comes from the heart full of pain over the plight of this Eved Ivri, the Hebrew slave. So what was the charge then, so to speak, against Moshe Rabbeinu, that the foolish mistake that he made that aroused the divine attribute of strict justice, again referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his use of the term Elohim, and to strike out against Moshe? It was that Moshe opened up his ears to listen to Dathan and Aviram when they went to confront him. May Hashem look upon you and judge you, for you've made our very scent abhorrent in the eyes of Paro. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly was not influenced by these two men, Dathan and Aviram. He knew that he needed to be wary of them from the outset, since he was all too familiar with their wicked nature from an encounter for many years before, as I mentioned earlier. At that time, he found the propensity for evil speech so disturbing that he attributed the entire gullus that he had, the entire exile, to it and its kind, that is, to evil speech. Meeting them now on the way into Paro's palace, he gave a hearing to their grievance only because he felt deeply for his brethren. And again, Dathan and Aviram, while they were not great people, they were his brethren. They were part of the Bnei Yisrael. And he was always seeking to learn about the suffering from everyone in the Klal Yisrael. Further, even Dathan and Aviram themselves were not faulted in this case. They also spoke out of desperation. See the Pesik Zutra for more on that idea. But there's no denying that their complaint wasn't worded properly. And since Moshe Rabbeinu listened to it, he was affected by it to the extent that his wisdom became confused, and his own tefillah came out in an improper way, in an inappropriate way. In the eyes of Kodesh Baruch Hu, this flaw was enough to cast Moshe Rabbeinu like a fool. Moshe Rabbeinu was no fool, but the bigger we are, so to speak, the harder we fall, as that famous adage goes. So when it comes to spiritual heights, when it comes to a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all the more so. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person who was able to speak to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, panim upon him, face to face. He was no slouch, obviously, but that didn't mean that he wasn't influenced by them. He was a person. And so when Hashem saw, so to speak, the flaw in Moshe Rabbeinu's way of speaking, the language of the tefillah, it was harassment that made the wise man foolish. It was the harassment that he received from Dathan and Aviram that made him act foolishly. The lesson for us, one lesson at least, is that anything improper that we hear can have a really negative effect on us. If the great Moshe Rabbeinu was tainted by what he heard from two men who he knew to be rabble-rousers, he knew that they caused problems, then we would be foolish to consider ourselves to be invulnerable to spiritual harm, so to speak, from listening to people who don't share our values and our beliefs. We have to be vigilant against listening to improper, not just negative. You can have negative comments that are proper, but improper comments, improper ideas, which can penetrate our ears and contaminate Chas V'Shalom, our neshamas. Of course, the converse is true as well. Associating ourselves with wise people, with pious people, with tzaddikim, with Talmid Chachamim, listening to their words brings our brachas to our neshamas and then makes the foolish man wise. So it's a bracha that I want to give to each and every one of us, that once again we distance ourselves from listening to negative, really improper comments, improper things, and to the best of our abilities to remove ourselves from improper thoughts as well. I know we live in society. I don't say to pull yourself away from society, but to really take into account all the negative things that we do here, whether we mean to or not, whether it's listening to the news radio, listening to if you read a newspaper, blog post, whatever it might be, listening to negative things, improper things, not just, again, not necessarily negative, but improper things is bad for us. But the flip side is positive. So the bracha is that we distance ourselves from the improper and latch onto the positive. More Torah, more cleaving to Talmid Chachamim, whether it's Shirim that you can listen to here on Shir Enjoyment, or it's a class you can attend with your local Orthodox rabbi, or it's exploration on other proper websites, TorahWeb.org, H.com, Chabad.org. I'm not advertising it. It's just, there are proper places you can learn. Go to yeshiva, learn from Rebbeim, have a chavrusa, spend time with your children, if you're zochet to have them. Open up a chumash, open up Gemara, open up Mishnayis, open up Midrash, whatever it might be. But keep yourselves involved in Limud Torah and surrounding yourself by those who are steeped in Torah. Then, God willing, the messages that you will learn, the messages that you'll hear, will be proper messages, and that will be a purification, so to speak, a tahara for the neshama, and it will lead us to do more mitzvahs, to be better people, and ultimately that we should help to influence positively other people. And so, all the mitzvahs, all the world combined, Kadosh Baruch Hu will deem it's the right time to Semech Sheikh Zikenu here of Emin. Wish everyone a good Shabbos. And Zygevansh.